It's Tuesday, September 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you. Although we do have a slight buzz, we'll talk about that. Yeah, buzz in the audio. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website at Geek News Central. And of course, you want to get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter will deliver the show notes directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The show notes contain everything that I talk about during the podcast. And of course, all the listener submitted articles as well. And I tell you, the RSS feed is where it's at, though. That's where you subscribe to the show itself. And you will get the show automatically delivered to you via either your mobile media device, iPhone, iPod, BlackBerry, whichever it may be. And that way you can take the show with you no matter where you're at and listen at your convenience. Dealing with a little bit of a louder buzz tonight. Can you guys hear that? Listen here. It's there, yeah? And I really, you know, the guys that were coming on Ustream a little early, they heard it. Let me adjust the camera here. They heard it during I was getting ready for the pre-show, and really it's louder than it has been. And the last time this happened was when I had a universal power supply that was going bad, and basically replaced it, and it took care of it. So who knows where the issue's at? That means I'm just going to have to go through and do my normal process to eliminate the noise. And what I do is this office that I'm in, the studio that I'm in, is on three separate electrical circuits. So I start out pretty easily. I just click one of the circuit breakers off. The noise goes away. I'm good. And I start searching on that particular circuit. And if not, I go back and forth until I find the circuit where the noise originates. And usually it's either, like I said, the UPS, or it could be a transformer that's got up next to a line that it shouldn't have. And, you know, when you knock stuff around and you get everything set, and then just over time, it's things start to slip a little bit. And I have to do this, it seems like, once every 6 months. But it's gotten much, much more noticeable. Matter of fact, it's registering at about minus 50 dB on the buzz scale. And that's not good. It's you guys can hear that very easily on the show and when you're listening, and it's annoying. So I get that worked on for the next podcast. I'm just absolutely have been slammed here. It really kind of I had a whole grand plan on what I was going to do over the weekend. That was basically preempted by us go car shopping, and I'll talk about that in a second. But I just, you know, I really, the week prior to a new quarter and the week after a new quarter starts, I am just really up to my elbows in work, and I'm behind. So tomorrow it's going to probably be a full 18-hour day because I've got to get all the podcasters' notices out, and I'll probably go out late Tuesday or even late Wednesday for those that are going to be involved in our quarter four advertising buys. Not only that, today we're launching a new website. And I'm really proud to announce, at least on this show, you guys will be able to see the press release link probably in the show notes, because I think that goes live here in about 45 minutes on PR Web. But we're working together with Chris Christensen. He is the host of the Amateur Traveler podcast, and we have teamed up with him, and we're launching what we're calling the Travelcast Network, and you can find the website over at travelcastnetwork.com. He's basically handpicked the shows that are being part of that network. It's another vertical that we're bringing to you. You know, our first vertical we brought was the ProMed Network, and of course, the one before that that really kind of gave us the incentive to go out and build these verticals was Tech Podcast Network, which we've had online since 2005. And what we've really found with these verticals is they have the ability to scale very quickly. They've had the, as far as number of listeners. We've also found that it's easier to find a sponsor for a specific set of shows. And we allow the vertical managers to run their networks. We don't interfere whatsoever. We provide the hardware and infrastructure to, you know, and basically the software, the IT, the IP for them to do their thing. And they basically manage their own network. So it's a very simple concept, yet very, very powerful. And we're looking to, you know, add more vertical managers in niche communities. And, you know, one of the reasons we teamed up with Chris was because, you know, he reaches over a million people a year on his show. And he's a thought leader in that particular space. And we're looking for more thought leaders and more individuals that are basically, you know, leading the charge when it comes to a specific genre. And so if you are a podcaster and you are podcasting on a specific genre and you, you know, you feel you have the chops to possibly run, manage, and build a vertical network, we'd love to talk with you, of course, as well. But get over to the TravelCastNetwork.com. And today is the first day the site is officially live and that we've announced it. Along with that, we have a brand new revamped, refurbished, completely redone corporate website at rawvoice.com. That's online today as well. Soft launch on that. And when you get there, you're gonna find it to be quite different than what it was before. And we're going to be putting in videos on the website here in a short order. We'll be having podcaster testimonials about what we've done for their podcast. And this is a real opportunity for those that work with us to get some major exposure on our front page by submitting stuff. We sent out emails 2 to 3 weeks ago, letting the network members know that this was forthcoming and that they would have a chance to get some exposure on our corporate website. And what we're basically going to be doing is compiling those into a single video with a number of podcasters. We'll probably launch with the initial videos with a small corporate message and so forth. But we're pretty excited about the new website, and it's something that we have not I guess we hadn't paid attention to. We'd so paid attention so much to the other things that we were doing. We had not spent time to actually take a look at everything we were doing with the corporate site, and we've got that cleaned up, and I'm pretty happy with it today. Well, let me talk just a little bit before I go too long on just the personal stuff here tonight and the business stuff before we get into the tech news, which you all have come for. And, of course, I want to welcome those of you that are on Ustream tonight for coming out and hanging out. But one of the things that I have been – you guys know that I've been car shopping. And for a number of years I have – well, for a long time I've drove a 1995 Volvo wagon G850 or something like that. It's a car that my wife bought a number of years ago after I had an automobile accident with my – I guess what I like to call a Costa Canarli. You guys know what a Costa Canarli is? It's a car that coasts down one hill and can hardly get up the next. Well, I've owned a number of Costa Canarlis in my life, and I actually had stayed away from new vehicles just for the simple fact that, you know, someone else is going to pay that initial $3,000 or $4,000 they lose as they drive off the lot, and I'll wait 3 years to come in and pick up the pieces for something someone's traded. So I basically did not follow my own personal advice, and this weekend, after much deliberation, we were able to negotiate after 8 hard-fought hours. Yes, 8 hard-fought hours at the local, Volkswagen, Mazda. What else did he have there? I mean, it's one of these dealers that has two or three different car types. But we focused on a Mazda CX-9. It's a crossover, a CUV, I guess. And, you know, here I've, you know, at this stage in my life, I've got, there's five of us here that are here full time. And then with family members and business acquaintances and just, you know, anyone else I know that comes from the mainland, we're always seem like we're having to take two vehicles places. So the CUV will sit seven. It's not a minivan, but it's also not quite an SUV. And we picked up a Mazda CX-9. Actually got, when I was on the lot, something kind of funny. This will tell you how the negotiations went. In Hawaii, we have an inspection sticker that the dealers have to put on the vehicles once they go on the lot. And that gives you, what that really does, if you're in the know, it gives you an idea how long the vehicle had set on the lot. And we test drove a vehicle that they had only had in the lot since August. And when we drove back in, my wife was driving. She parked right next to another CX-9, and it was a car that was a little was another class up, and really more money than I would even consider spending, just because it was that much more expensive. And my wife wanted to see it anyway, and we opened it. They, you know, the dealer opened it up, and I must admit it's beautiful. And so as I'm standing back, kind of contemplating the amount of money I'm about ready to spend, I noticed that the vehicle, the second vehicle that we looked at, which was a higher class, they'd had sitting on the lot since January. And I'm thinking, dude, this is late September. They haven't sold that vehicle, and they've had it on the lot since January. Well, as we're walking in, the salesman makes a mistake by telling me, well, I'm glad you're here. We haven't sold a car all day. Car in a lot since January, haven't sold a car all day, and he had told me that the main manager had been away for the past two or three days and was coming in on Monday. Now, I don't know if he's tried to slide that in and sneak it in, but when we sat down to negotiate, well, actually, I let the sales guy go inside, and we already, my wife and I, pre-agreed to a number, and I said, if they don't match that number, you pull me out of there by my ear, no matter what it takes, we're leaving. If they don't match that number, we're going home. And we really set a very aggressive number. It was to the point of being semi-ridiculous. But 8 hours later, they matched the number. I put some money down on the vehicle and financed the rest. And we drove it home. And I'm pretty pleased with the purchase. Don't like the idea. I've got a car payment again. First new car that I've had in 25 years, and the first car payment I've had in just as many years. So, yeah, you know, but so far I think we made a good decision, and we would have never got a deal like we did if the economy hadn't been as bad as it is, and the essentially the dealer having had the vehicle since January. So, I'm real pleased with the purchase, and yeah, it's good. And I got it. I mean, I really did good. Now, if you're following me on Twitter, you will kind of seen what had happened yesterday or Saturday when we were doing the actual negotiation, because I was Twittering it, and you know, it was classic. It really, really was. Okay. As I said earlier, behind on schedule here at in the office, so that'll be on the task list to get caught up this week before I leave to go out east on Sunday. So I'll be in Washington, D.C. the following week, next week. We do one more show here, and then that starts the really massive road show for about the entire month of October. I think we'll only have one or two shows here in Honolulu throughout the month. The rest of the time I'll be on the road. Of course, Blog World and New Media is coming up at the Honolulu Convention Center, HVCC, and we're going to have a great party there for the podcasters. I want you to definitely come down to Blog World. I had gotten an interesting voicemail from a gentleman by the name of Vince talking about City Center and MGM. Vince, if you're listening tonight or you listen to the show later, you know I have a team of folks that come out to CES every year. And, hey, if you've got connections at City Center or MGM, hey, we'd love to talk, because we're going to be coming out and doing lots of coverage, tech coverage, in January And so I'll give you a jingle. I got your number on voicemail, but thanks for the call. Hey, so far as the AT&T challenge goes, I'm going to have to delay giving a prize out until the next show. I just don't have. I've got all the names, just didn't have everything in order tonight to do that, but we'll give the prize away on the next show. Obviously, the AT&T network, it appears from what I heard, stayed up online and didn't go down. Everything was good. There was not this big disaster that happened, so AT&T survived. I think what it was, too, was you had to be at your computer to resynchronize it with iTunes, and I'm sure many people were at work, and, you know, basically their machines that did that probably was at home, so it probably alleviated some of that, and so, you know, people kind of got over the initial shock. So smart move on them Friday late afternoon to mitigate the damage. If they cut everybody loose on Thursday, I think that had been a different situation on Friday. Of course, the 2009 Podcast Awards start on October 4th. The nominations get underway. And we have a number of volunteers from the show that have – we've gotten a huge number. It's really, really great. If we can get a few more, that would even be better. So if you want to volunteer to be a reviewer for the 2009 People's Choice Podcast Awards, drop me an email basically in the title, the subject line of the email, 2009 Podcast Awards, and let me know that you want to volunteer, and we'll get you set up here. Okay, let's take care of a little business here, and that's the most important thing. That's the number one. It's going to help me pay my car payment. Keep on the lights here and doing the things that we do. And those of you on Ustream, you guys can see the new shirt that I'm wearing tonight. Got a little Raw Boy shirt here, and it's a little big. And hopefully when we wash them, because I've got six of them this size, they shrink a little bit. They are just a little bit big. And I've never had shirts this the size that I ordered be this oversized. But I don't think they're going to shrink that much, which worries me a little bit. But it is what it is. But hey, if you're looking for domain names, you're looking for a shared hosting account, dedicated server, hey, GoDaddy. GoDaddy's a place to go. GoDaddy.com, you can save a lot of money by using my promo codes. When you go over to GoDaddy and you're searching for products and services, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central. Promo code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will save you money on .com purchases only, of course, on renewals as well. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. That's huge. 20% on top of already their great pricing. It's almost like getting a product for free. So thanks for GoDaddy for sponsoring the show, and thank you to all of you for continuing your support by purchasing products at GoDaddy.com on my behalf. Also, as well, we want to do a big shout-out here to GoToMeeting. Huge, huge supporters of the podcast community. Really, there's a lot of podcasters out there that owe their livelihood to GoToMeeting. They've been here since 2005, and we definitely appreciate them for being a sponsor of the show. And I'm a big, big fan of the product. I use it nearly every day. Basically, if I want to hold a meeting with someone, I send them an instant message with a little link in it. They click on it. It loads up on their side of their screen. They don't have to have no license or nothing. It just launches. And they essentially can see exactly what I'm showing on my own computer. And they can click the little voice IP, and through their either their headset or their microphone on their webcam, basically start communicating and talking, have a meeting. It's as simple as that. And even if that person has something that they need to show me, I can change the presenter so I can actually see their screen. So it's kind of unique. Not only can they see my screen, but I can see theirs. Share documents back and forth, mark stuff up, draw lines, circles, smiley faces, highlight stuff. It's the bomb. It really is. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day trial. That's what you got to do to get a free 30-day trial. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here. Links are on the website, of course, in the show notes as well. Click on them, get that trial, and thanks for the folks at Citrix for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central as well. Okay, let me go ahead here and bust into the content. I've already went way long on the personal stuff tonight. I apologize, but I had to just tell you guys about the Travelcast Network and, of course, about the big purchase over at the Mazda dealership. And I'd actually gotten one Twitter from someone saying, hey, Todd, don't do it. Don't buy a Twitter. I mean, don't buy a Mazda because they're horrible on maintenance. Well, you know, everything I've read, all the reviews on this particular brand of vehicle, that's they've done well and not a lot of negative stuff out there. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. It's got a very good warranty. We'll hope that that plays a part in. And you know what? I'm seeing tonight on my computer screen here that there where the issue may be. I've got a line that's rolling up on the screen that I don't normally see. I just wonder if that has something to do with my buzz here. And let me turn the monitor off for a second. The buzz didn't go away, so it's not that. All right, let's go ahead and get into the actual content. Hey, first article up is it's a interview that Robert Scoble did with the TechCrunch 50 winner called Red Beacon. They tell their story. It's a pretty good video. And it's a good one for those of you that are thinking about starting a business out there. And also interesting to see their what their plan of attack is in their actual business model, how this startup is designed to help consumers find local businesses offering a needed service to obtain price quotes and scheduled jobs. You know, that's one of the biggest challenges I find here in Honolulu is, first of all, you know, I wanted to have some work done. And I ask around, and people say, okay, I recommend this guy or that guy. And then that guy shows up here at the house, and he's some fly-by-nighter. He doesn't have a contractor's license. He's a, you know, he's a, this is his part-time job. He has a regular, you know, he's a carpenter, but yet he has a full-time job as a travel agent. Or, you know what I mean? It's just what he does in his real-world job is completely different. You know, that's not necessarily the guy I want to working on my house and doing things. So I think this is pretty smart of them to connect businesses up with individuals. And so a good model there for the folks at Red Beacon. You guys can check out the interview by Scoble on the site with the link to the show notes from the website. I'll have the link to the website on my in my show notes. Gosh. On over on Wired, Apple has denied a healthcare app for political reasons. Now, there are all kinds of technical reasons, but now Apple has actually denied a healthcare app due to political reasons. And I thought to myself, okay, I don't care. You know, everyone has an opinion. You know, there's some people that are Republicans, some people are Democrats, some people are for the healthcare plan, some people are against, some people are, you know, everyone has an opinion, okay? And everyone's rightly justified to have their own opinion and willing to be heard and to be, you know, that's what this country's all about, right? Freedom of speech. Well, Apple has denied a healthcare app for political reasons. It said it is an application that advocated a single-payer health system, and they called the application politically charged, according to the app developer. Can you believe that? Now, I don't care what your views on this are. Let's just look at this from a perspective of, wow. So does that mean if the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or the Independent Party or whichever party puts an app into the apps or sends an app to the or applies to have an app on the App Store, that Apple's going to say, oh no, you can't have that app on the iPhone because it's politically charged and has an opinion? Everyone has an opinion. I don't get it. I don't really get it. So we'll see here what happens with this. But it's not because of a technical reason. It's because of a political reason. That's a scary thing. Apple also has upset one of the judges involved in the Hackintosh court procedures that are going on. Apple's motion to toss out a lawsuit filed by Hackintosh SciStar was itself tossed out by a U.S. District Judge. The judge was pretty upset because they basically said that Apple's kind of done some stonewalling themselves and done everything they could to prevent discovery and a number of different items. But the judge says that no, SciStar's countersuit is not going to be dismissed, and that it will be allowed to proceed. So, and then it goes on to talk about some of the tactics that Apple has employed, it was primarily to keep Snow Leopard out of the discovery period, and which I'm not a legal guy, but essentially they didn't want Snow Leopard brought into the fray based upon what SciStar was doing. So we'll see here how this develops, but definitely a loss on Apple's part. All right, over on this I have never read this guy's website before, and it was actually linked up via TechMeme. His website's michaelapproved.com, and he is explaining on how you can use Bitly to expose click traffic of tweets. Now, you all know it if you use Bitly, and maybe you don't know. If you use Bitly to create a short URL, you put that in a blog post or you put that in a tweet on Twitter, you can actually go to back to Bitly and you can look at the click traffic. And I was actually looking tonight, and I've been refreshing it once in a while, and the number of people that are clicking on my link where I send people over to the blog at Raw Voice that announced the new travel network, and was watching the click-throughs there. But as I was reading down through, I didn't know other people could look at those click rates as well. So it actually allows you to go in and look at other people's click traffic. And I didn't know you could actually look at the click traffic. So, you know, you don't have to, you know, be the originator. Anyone can see the click traffic. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Anyway, I'll have this article up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. And if you're watching an article that's being retweeted a lot, you can actually see the stats. It's kind of a backdoor way into seeing how much traffic a specific website's getting. I think my click-through, and let me load it up here, and let me actually refresh it right now. A total of 41 clicks at this moment since I announced it about an hour ago on my Twitter account that there was a basically the new travel site was online. So not too bad. 41 clicks in an hour at this time of night is really, really good. Here we're on Mark Cuban's weblog. He goes on to – he's basically given a business idea for anyone that's in New York City. And I thought, man, this guy – this is why this guy's made a lot of money. He said, I was in New York for most of the week. Every time I walked past a newsstand or street vendor, it disturbed me to end that they wore their own clothing, in particular their own T-shirts. And the question was why. He says, because it made absolutely no sense to me that some entrepreneur had not done a deal that required the employees of these businesses – to wear branded T-shirts. Now, I'm wearing a branded polo shirt tonight by Raw Voice for obvious reasons. There's a few people on Ustream watching now, but as I've watched my stats, a lot of people watch later. So that means a number of people will get to actually see the Raw Voice brand on, you know, on my account, or actually on my Ustream stream. And, you know, does it really mean a lot? No, but it keeps my personal branding. You know, I'm wearing the Gunner optical glasses right now, and I'm not sponsored by them to say that yet, but it's just like anything else. Hey, Tiger Woods, how much does he get paid to wear Nike shirts? A lot of money. And I know that we've got one of the listeners on the actual chat tonight that wants to put his business information on my little flashing screen behind it. I need to send him an email on that. But you know, what is that all worth? I don't know, but one thing's for sure, if you're doing anything online, doing video, hey, it's all about an image, right? And if the sports guys can do it, us new media folks can too. All right, we talked about last show on how the Cinegen custom Android build was basically had received a C&D from Google. But it appears that over the weekend and through the last couple of – since this story broke – that Google's kind of mended some fences here with this guy, and he's going to be able to distribute his ROMs and make access so people can download something. Basically, they're going to be able to load the Google apps, I guess, separately after they load the ROM or something to that effect. And but there was some crazy videos out. There was actually a video on YouTube that you guys have seen that one movie where they parody it all the time. It's the movie of World War II where Adolf Hitler is in his bunker, and basically the Americans are, you know, are closing fast on one side and the Russians on the other. And it's basically the day that they presume that Hitler committed suicide. And basically there's been a lot of people that have re-parodied that particular video to put their own words in, and the Cinegen folks had done that as well. And it was pretty brutal message back to Google, and the open source folks were very, very upset. And whoever did that parody on YouTube definitely took some time to do it. That wasn't something that was set down and done in a few hours. Probably someone spent a full day on it. But the anyway, it looks like those of you that run these custom builds on your Android phones will be able to still get access to them. Maybe Google woke up and smelt the roses here a little bit. But maybe they learned a little bit something in the process as well. You're going to have something open source. You got to roll with the punches. All right, over on Gizmodo, how to make your own word clock. Remember we talked about a while back where there was a clock that just basically was had a sheet of, I don't know if it was plexiglass or metal or whatever, and had words written on it, and then it actually, when it was specific times, it actually lit up the actual word clock. And I guess the only way to really describe it is you got to go over and see it on Gizmodo. But the folks over at Make, of course, you leave it to those guys. If you don't want to spend the $1,500 for the clock that the company called Clock 2 makes it, you can follow the instructions by the folks at Make and make one of your own. I don't know how much it's going to cost you, if it's cheaper to make on your own and how much time it would take, but you can make your own word clock as well. And I have to admit, the word clock that was for $1,500 is cool. I went and buy one, but I might make one if I could make one for $100 or so. All right, let's go over to Scoble's site, talk a little bit about an article he's got. He says, basically, when Twitter put together their suggested user list, Scoble was one of the folks that was very, very vocal about it. You know, Scoble had essentially was the king on Twitter for a long time, is basically following legitimate people to follow him, and had worked very hard to get a number of followers. And then when Twitter put together their suggested user list, then people that really, you know, didn't do any work at all got hundreds of thousands, and some got millions of followers on Twitter just through the suggested user list that Twitter was making available. And when I created the Podcast Awards Twitter account recently, I actually, for the first time, actually saw how invasive that was, because it, you know, after you signed up, you clicked the next button, it was boom, right there was those suggested users, which you could automatically subscribe to with a single click, and it was kind of even annoyed me. But Scoble has come up with his own suggested user list. Now, sadly, so Scoble didn't pick me to be on his list, but I know he follows me, and I appreciate that. But there's some good ones here, and he goes through and lists, he's probably got 100 different Twitter users, and he talks about what they bring to the Twitter stream. And the one thing that I did is on the Geek News Central Twitter account, which is a separate account that I don't tweet on, I follow specific people that are in the tech industry, and it's just nothing more for me than a way to have a real refined message of what's coming to me for tech articles and links and information. My personal account is more for, you know, just, you know, saying what I want to say and twittering stuff about Rob Voice and so forth. But that's where I added some of these folks to, was on my secondary Twitter account that I follow for, you know, specific links and for people saying, you know, specific thought leaders in specific verticals and spaces. So you want to check this article out. There's a lot of great people there that you could follow and probably gain a lot of information from. Over on Dave Weiner's site, he's got an article talking about where we're at with RSS Cloud. And as we talked about on an earlier show, I'm pretty excited about where this is headed. There are some scaling challenges. Dave's working through this. But really what the RSS Cloud is, and the best way to describe it is that if I update the, or one of the bloggers that blog at Geek News Central update the website, you would actually get a message to either your RSS reader or to hopefully at some point Google Reader, where it'll actually say, hey, Todd is just, or one of his writers has just updated Geek News Central. Go check out the new content. It's kind of like a tweet bit for bloggers. And Dave has also come up with some experiments using a cloud-enabled podcast feed. So, you know, one thing that is a challenge with podcasts is that right now when I put the show up, most of you will have either, if you remember to download the show, you download the show first thing in the morning, or maybe during the days, I knew there's no show up, I need to go get it. But with this RSS cloud, I should at some point here in the near future basically be able to kind of poke you through either whatever messaging mechanism is put in place and say, hey, Todd's new show's up online, go get it. And it's just kind of one of those quick reminder things. And you know, you opt to follow up on it or not, just like you do now. But it is kind of like a quick way to remind. Now, you have to opt in and subscribe to be poked. But he is playing around with the Internet Archive and was basically developing a static feed of new podcasts that were being submitted, or audio files that were being submitted over there. So I actually left a message for Dave on the website basically saying, hey, what can we do? We don't advertise our category feeds over at blueberry.com, because if people subscribe to them, there would essentially be – their podcatchers would melt down or get lost, because the data is updating so fast and no one would ever be able to keep up with it. But if we have an ability to basically from our category cloud basically go out and say, hey, Dave, there's an update, he could actually build a river of news of specific categorized podcasts that would be going on a continuous basis updating, where you would be able to get almost like a Twitter stream of specific categories. And take it a step further, our MyCast system, where you subscribe to specific shows, you could get pinged the same way saying, hey, that new, you know, the show that you're subscribed to is updated. It's available from a single source. And it's one of the things that I'm going to get Angela involved in, working with Dave, just make sure we're cloud compatible there. So it's pretty cool stuff on that. And really what it does is it creates more of a real-time messaging, just like Twitter does, but not within the confines of Twitter itself. It's within the confines of the applications that we use to consume podcasts, how we're notified about new shows, and so forth. So I'm really excited about what's going on in that space. Over on Robin Good's website, we haven't talked about him in a while, over at masternewmedia.org. On-demand video encoding guide to the best cloud-based services. He's got, and I thought this, he'd posted this before, something similar. Maybe he redid this article. But essentially what this is a review of different websites that you can submit a video to, and then they will output in multiple different formats for you. You know, you upload a .mov, and then in return you can select which file types to create. A Flash file, M4V, an MPEG, OGG, a DV, AVI, you know, all these multiple formats. And it lists all the companies that can do that, which is pretty cool. If you want to get multiple formats, you know, you don't have to use your computer to actually do the conversions, because that's pretty, you know, server intensive when you do that. Now, I don't know, you know, the political spectrum that listen to this show is far and wide. And first of all, we're in a time right now, obviously it's very charged politically. There's lots of people upset about stuff that's going on. You know, there's all, you know, there's 2, 3, 4, 5 different sides to everything. But some knucklehead, and I don't care who you are or what political affiliation you are, but some knucklehead on Facebook put a poll up that essentially, I don't even want to say it on the show, it was basically polling people about whether or not, gosh, I don't even want to say it. Basically, all I can say is it was a poll that got the Secret Service involved in to figure out who this individual was and why he's running a poll on the president. And, you know, the Secret Service only get involved on certain specific threats against the president, and this poll was essentially doing that. And Facebook took the poll down. But you want to find yourself in jail? You know, be an idiot and put something like this up online. It just amazes me that people think that they go online, that they can be anonymous, and that they can, you know, put some poll up that really, you know, could be considered a threat against the president. It's just shocking. Hey, did you guys hear that? The buzz went away. Just now, I'm going to have to ask. Someone must have just shut something down in the house. Just like that, it was gone. Clear as a whistle right now. And nothing has changed in here. Isn't that weird? 40 minutes in and the buzz is gone. Oh, man. Those of you on Ustream, you probably can't hear the buzz because you're getting a different audio feed. But it was definitely not. You guys that are listening to the MP3, you definitely heard it go away. So I'm real curious on now, I know my wife was using the voice IP line. So I'm just wondering if that was it. I bet you that, because the receiver sits right over by the computer. I bet you that was what it was. Well, it's gone. We don't have to be annoyed right now. But, you know, again, going back to this poll, can you believe the gull of some people? Crazy, yeah? All right, back to school with Google Docs. And, boy, I saw this today and I laughed because I'm in my last week of class and I was been throwing some heavy-duty trigonometry questions, which was killing me as I was doing homework. And I used this program called I think it's called Math Type or something like that to put my work on the paper I submit to my professor. But they've on Google Docs, they've added an equation editor, and they've added some other features for students. So if you've got kids that are doing stuff with Google Docs and they're in school, they now have this equation editor added to Google Docs. This is big because the Math Type program is like 100. When you have to buy it, if the school doesn't provide it, I think it's like $129. So now you've got this built into Google Docs. This just, you know, in my opinion, probably just wiped out that particular company, especially with the ability to work offline with Google Docs. So big improvement by some interns. Actually, some interns built this for Google Docs. So pretty cool. Hey, we're on VentureBeat. Online electronics store Newegg has filed a $175 million IPO. So they're getting ready to do a public offering. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Newegg. I buy a lot of stuff from Newegg. And at Newegg.com is really the place for people in Hawaii that don't have any electronics stores that get his stuff anymore besides Best Buy. This is a place to shop. So, I'd love to get in on this IPO. I really would because they do have some great deals. But you have to be one of those accredited investors to be able to. Isn't that such a crock? It really is. All right, Apple App Store downloads top 2 billion. More than 85,000 apps now available for iPhone and iPod Touch. And on September 28th, over 2 billion apps have been downloaded. They don't say what the breakout is on numbers that have actually been bought, though. But 2 billion is a big number nonetheless. Hey, a little bit of a controversy what happened over the last couple of days with Google Places. And if you had been playing around with Google Places at all, you'll know that if you search for a place, it would give you a location on Google Maps, and basically it would link and put a dot on the screen. But at the same point, there was some worry about search engine optimization people that Google was going to be filling the Google search entries with their own search results. And that was the case until Google has responded and say, no, we have understood that this could be a problem, and they have actually stopped that process. But if you're using Google Places at all to find businesses or you know, interesting places that you're trying to, or actually specific places you're trying to find, you should not find the Google results intermixed below the actual map location that they show you as the first result on the web page. So for those of you that have businesses, don't worry. I think your positioning in the Google search engine will probably stay pretty good. All right, this weekend I noticed this. I actually installed the software. Apple appears to be up to its old tricks, pushing unwanted software onto PCs. But as of late this afternoon, the iPhone configuration utility, which I'm sure many of you downloaded and installed, has been removed from the Apple software update program. And what really scared me after I read this is this application really has nothing to do for consumers for configuring your iPhone. It's more of a business utility and actually kind of can set up an Apache server type of application on your computer. So I went through and I found it and I uninstalled it. But if you've downloaded the iPhone configuration utility that was provided by the Apple software update, my recommendation is uninstall it, okay? It's been removed, but once again, Apple, unhandedly, trying to push products onto our computers. I got sucked in because I thought it was something I needed, and the 22 meg file had nothing to do with syncing my iPhone. Over on Doc Searle's weblog, there's a great article that he wrote about on value and valuation. Talks about Twitter's $1 billion valuation, their $100 million of financing they got. And I think if you go over and read this, it'll kind of tie into some of the things I was talking about a little earlier in the show about RSS Cloud and the ability to essentially maintain control of one's own content while at the same time building upon the value of what other people have created. In other words, some of the stuff that Twitter has created obviously can transform into individual applications and processes that you use to get information out to people that you're trying to reach either through a blog or for podcasting. And he goes on to talk about the specific cycle that products and services go through in adoption and how things can actually splinter off because of new business ideas. And I hope that makes sense to you. When you read the article, I think it'll tie in. But as an example, he says that today RSS, RSS is part of everything that we do on the web. Every business, every website, almost in existence, has an RSS feed that you can subscribe to, and it's something that was never necessarily monetized. There was no business model around it where people got rich. And the reason that RSS is so prevalent is it was never controlled, whereas Twitter, it's very focused. It's this vertical stovepipe where all the information is contained within. And, even though they try to suck some of that data out via an API, it still all resides on Twitter. And really, I think we all try to build our sites and do stuff on the web that doesn't tie us in as tight. And this is kind of the discussion points that Doc Searle makes here. I have this link up in the show notes that you can go through and form your own opinion, not hear my dissertation. All right. How many have flown on a foreign airline recently? I haven't. I'll be honest with you. I've been on United and haven't flown any other carriers. But cell phone use on airplanes seems to be expanding, especially if you're flying in the Middle East. Or if you're flying in the UK, a lot of airlines now are allowing you to make phone calls while you're online. They have a little repeater service that's in the aircraft tied to a satellite or site tied to a dish that aims you at a specific ground station so that you're not bouncing from cell tower to cell tower as you're flying along. But, how come they can't get this going in the United States? It just goes to show you, once again, we're continuing to be left behind. Now, the airline stewardess, or I don't know if that's the right way to say it here, the National Union representing flight attendants wants Congress to ban in-flight phone calls altogether. And, what they're saying here on these other airlines, it's not an issue. You know, people aren't being boisterous and they're being quiet in their discussions. Personally, there's been a few times where I'd like to make a little call to someone, an idea has come up. I think it would be good, but I know I'm sure people have mixed feelings. They probably thank goodness that they don't have to make phone calls when they're flying. That's their one reprieve, which is probably true as well. Hey, on ubergizmo.com, those of you that live in the or actually under the control of the European Union, The European Commission has decided to set volume limits on MP3 players in all European member states, which means that your Zune HD, your iPod, your other portable media device will not be allowed to output anything louder than 80 decibels under the default settings when the ruling goes into effect. So this is something's going to come down. They feel that they know best on the volume that you should listen to, and they're not going to allow these portable media players to go louder than 80 dB. All right, the next article is over on jwz.livejournal.com, and I'll be honest, this guy, he may be a developer for the Palm Pre. But I'm sorry, he needs to go back to school on his website design. It's very hard to read. It's like this fluorescent green color. When you guys see this page, you're going to be like, you'll want to puke. You probably won't even want to read it. But I read it. I suffered through for all of you. It appears in the core of this article talks about the same exact issues that is happening over at Palm that's happening with the iPhone. There's a guy that's got two apps he's trying to distribute and get up on their app store in the app catalog. And he's getting all kinds of grief and pushback and reviews and talk about his source code and changing this and changing that. So it appears that not only does Apple have a huge issue getting apps approved, the folks over at Palm are not faring any better. And that's not good, considering that, you know, this is supposed to be open, or actually this guy's app was an open source application, and he says, hey, you know, I'm being made to pay like $100 a year to have an app distributed that I'm giving away for free. So what's the deal here? I'm just trying to provide a service, and you guys are trying to charge me money. And he goes on and talks about, he vents pretty heavily here on Palm. So it's interesting seeing that they're not only the ones having trouble. All right, how many of you'd like to try out a Chrome operating system? Yes, you heard me. A Chrome operating system. Well, a fan of the Chrome browser made a Chrome OS from a Linux build. So now you can actually download an Izio image to install Chrome OS to your disk. And you'll probably want to try out the virtual images and pre-built and ready for VirtualBox or VMware first. But Chrome OS is a free download, not endorsed by Google, but it runs as a bootable, also as a bootable Izio as well. So I have a link up to it in the show notes. You guys can check it out. I just thought that would, y'all would get a kick out of it. All right, Orange announces a UK iPhone deal. Orange has reached an agreement to sell Apple Popular's iPhone in the UK. The deal ends an exclusive arrangement between UK network operator O2 and the Californian, or actually, you know, Apple. So it says Orange is going to be able to sell the iPhone later this year, and they did not specify a date. So those of you that are in the UK can be pretty happy about that. If you're an Orange customer, iPhone is coming to your neighborhood soon. All right, over on 6revisions.com. I've got a link to 10 excellent and free blog editors for the desktop. I'm always a big fan of being able to write blog posts offline and be able to push it. A few of these I was never familiar with. One of them is called Thingamablog. Thingamablog. You guys will have to see the writing yourself. Windows Live Writer, Blog Desk, Blazor, Post-a-Blog, WBlogger, Flock, Scribefire, Cumana, Zoundry. Those are the ones he's got listed here. I have a link to up in the show notes. I still like BlogJet, but it has a tendency to not actually input real well to WordPress. So what are you guys using with WordPress as external blog applications? All right, over on theguardian.co.uk, there's this guy that's a big Microsoft fan. I mean, he loves Windows products. But he loves Windows products so much that he actually hates it so much he's not willing to recommend a Windows product. Now, that's kind of oxymoron. But at the same time, he hates Mac fanboys. And he goes on this tirade in his article, which is pretty comical if you read through it. Basically, it gets to the end, and then he slams Microsoft on their Windows 7 rolling out videos. And if you've seen these, whoever created this ad campaign for the Windows 7 rollout parties, that firm needs to be run out of town on a rail. You know, there's stuff they did, the ads they did with their, you know, hey, you know, they gave somebody some money, so go pick out a machine and buy it. That was good. But this is like old school Microsoft draconian advertising. I mean, it is really horrible. I mean, it is just it almost makes you want to gag. So, you know, this guy's frustration, you can tell. You know, here I love Microsoft products. I'm a Windows user, you know, and yet they embarrass me by putting together this horrible Windows 7 rollout videos. You got to wonder, is it Steve Ballmer? Is he the one approving these things? You know, one has to wonder. All right, over on Engadget, website rates best and worst cell phones by radiation output levels. How does yours stack up? Well, I hate to tell you this. If you've got a Motorola Moto VU204 or a T-Mobile MyTouch 3G or a Kyocera Jax 1300, a BlackBerry Curve 8330, a Motorola W385 by Cellular, T-Mobile Shadow, a Motorola C290 by Sprint, a Motorola i35, Motorola Moto VE240, or a BlackBerry Bold 9000. Don't hold that thing too close to your head. Now, the best phones, Samsung Impression by AT&T, Motorola Razr V8 by Cellular One, Samsung SGT229 by T-Mobile, Samsung Rugby, Samsung Propel Pro, Samsung Gravity, T-Mobile Sidekick, LG Xeon, Motorola Karma KA1, and the Sanyo Katana 2. Not bad. You probably won't get brain cancer with this one. So, makes you wonder. I don't know where the iPhone falls out, but there's a full list from the link to the show notes. I have it up in the show notes. Do you guys believe that? Do you guys believe that your brain can get fried by having a cell phone up to your ear? I'd love to hear guys' comments on this. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. And yes, you can call the voicemail hotline. You don't have to be scared of calling. It seems like recently we've had this huge increase in listeners. We talked about it on the last show, 25% increase in listeners this month. Yet the voicemail hotline is pretty much dead. What's going on? Am I doing such a great job? No one's got any criticism or comments? Or are you guys all sleeping at the switch? Now watch, because I just scolded everybody. There'll be 50. +1-619-342-7365. You guys making me feel bad. I don't know if I'm doing a good job or not. No one's out there tweaking me at all. All right, call. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address as well. All right, want to save some cash and repair or upgrade your iPod? Hey, the folks over at Ars Technica has some tips for you where you can find replacement parts, how you can save money. You don't have to go out and spend $200, $300, $400 on getting your iPod Touch repaired. It talks about how you can spend $50 or $60 and use a screwdriver to essentially fix your iPod Touch. So I have that link in the show notes. Hey, this should come as no surprise. The wireless carriers are begging the FCC for more spectrum because they say smartphones. Smartphones are eating too much bandwidth. They are causing them to have not enough spectrum. You know what these carriers need to do? They need to do just as the fiber people have done. They need to figure out how to put more data on that same frequency bandwidth, you know, whatever frequency they're allotted. They need to get smart, invest, and figure out how to put more signals on a single, you know, whatever the separation needs to be. That's what the fiber folks had to do because the strain become too much for the, you know, the data transfer message they were using with fiber in the early days. So the fiber folks got smart and figured out how to, you know, transmit more data, how to multiplex it, how to, you know, reverse engineer everything to essentially reach the capacity they needed to reach. And they're complaining that they're seeing 5,000 growth in data. Hey, guess what? It's going to get worse. So get a grip. Oh, we talked about Google and the bank and the judge. Well, apparently, and I am guessing that there must have been so much negative publicity from those of you that called Google out from the last time that you listened to the show, or the whole country did that read this. Google has and the bank have resolved their issue. and they want that customer's account turned back on. But they got to get the judge to vacate the cease and desist, but they're not going to be able to do that until next week. it must be that the data was, I bet you what happened was probably the email bounced or something to that effect. The bank's, we made a mistake. Sorry, Google. Sorry, user. What a mess. A bank sends an email to the wrong address, doesn't get a response from that address, asks Google to shut it down. Google says no. The bank goes to a judge. The judge issues a temporary restraining order to shut down the account. Google complies, and now they're saying, oh, mistake. We don't want to shut the account down. Sorry. Sorry is not good enough. All right, Microsoft Security Essentials are available today. Microsoft has confirmed this release in Microsoft Security Essentials, its free anti-malware product today. The slimmed-down solution will replace Microsoft Windows Live OneCare in the battle against malware. You're going to be able to get this at the Microsoft Security Essentials website. Just do a search for that on Google. You'll be able to find it, and you'll be able to get a free malware application on your Windows machine. Hey, big news here in space side. On today, the spacecraft, you know what I hate? I got an MSNBC article up here, and it's got a number of hyperlinks, a link to NASA, a link to several pictures that were taken of Mercury by the Messenger probe. But anytime you hover over top of a hyperlink, all of a sudden you get that pop-up from Bing or those other folks that do that pop-up. Doesn't that just drive you insane? It does me. But anyway, as I was saying, the Messenger probe will skim just 142 miles above Mercury. At its closest approach during the flyby today, it will be cruising along at a nice clip at 12,000 miles per hour. But because of Mercury's gravity, that flyby will reduce the speed of the spacecraft by 6,000 miles per hour and put it on a trajectory to put it in orbit around Mercury in 2011. The 446 million spacecraft has been going for a while. I think it was launched in 2004, and it's not expected to reach its final orbit around Mercury until March of 2011. But the scientists over there, they're just gaga. They're going crazy because tomorrow's like the mother load of pictures. I guess 1,500 photographs will be taken during the flyby, and they're all excited about this. So we'll see what is forthcoming. And they've got a picture of Mercury that's, the one they took yesterday. And you know what? Mercury kind of looks like the moon. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like the moon. It doesn't look like anything special. So we'll see what the pictures produce tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be all over the news. All right, the next space tourist is Cirque du Soleil's founder, Guy Labrit. Oh boy, the French listeners are going to kill me here. His name is Guy Labritri. Is getting ready to hop aboard the Soviet Soyuz for a trip up to the International Space Station, and he's going to be, I'm sure, entertaining all the way up and back, and is having a great time as he's in isolation in Kazakhstan on his preparations for his launch. So I'm sure the folks on the International Space Station are going to be ready for him to arrive. You know, this guy, Cirque du Soleil, they have done amazing things in Vegas. I don't know what this guy's worth, but he's got must have a pile of cash. All right, this is the coolest article of the night. The night sky in 800 million pixels. A project carried out by Sergi Bernier and Frederic Tapasphere. They traveled to the top of a volcano in the Canary Islands and to the Chilean desert to capture 1,200 images, each one a six-minute exposure of the night sky. The photos were taken between August 2008 and February 2009 and required more than 30 full nights under the stars. They processed the image together into a single zoomable 800 megapixel 360-degree image of the sky. Oh my goodness. The site was almost crashed when I went to it earlier. Have the link up to the Slashdot article. You'll find the link to this site. Be prepared for it to be slow. They're getting massive amount of traffic right now. A little more information on the security side. Those of you that travel internationally know that when you come back across the border, that the Department of Homeland Security and Customs can take your laptop and search it. Now, some data has come out. Of more than the 144 million travelers that arrived at a U.S. port of entry between October 1, 2008 and May 5th of 2009, searches of electronic media were conducted on 1,947 of them, the Department of Homeland Security said. Of this number, 696 searches were performed on laptop computers. Even here, not all of the laptops received an in-depth search of the device, the report states. A search sometimes may have been as simple as turning on the device to ensure that it was what it was purported to be. U.S. Customs Border Protection agents conducting an in-depth searches on 40 laptops, but the report did not describe what an in-depth search entailed. I can tell you what an in-depth search entailed. Probably the thing basically being put under a microscope and scanned from one end to the other, and probably the hard drives put under some sort of a forensic type of look. But it is interesting that big talk about the data searches, and there's only been 1,947 searches between the time of October 2008 and May of 2009. Nonetheless, be prepared. You could be one of the small percentage of people that have your data searched, and if you have something on there that you shouldn't have on there, stand by to go to jail. All right, we're on Tech Dirt. It only took 9 months, but Warner Music videos are finally back on YouTube. So this was, they finally came to some sort of a licensing agreement. Did anyone miss them? Nope. Wired Magazine, could a gravity trick speed our trip to Mars? Well, there's a theory, actually something that actually will work. It's been a hypothesis, I guess, since 1929. As it was actually developed by Hermann Oberth, one of the fathers of the rocket science, and basically talking about how you can use a two-stage burn really to get a faster, using gravity as a push to punch yourself to Mars much faster, get there in half the time, and NASA's actually seriously looking at this. So nice to see that we might be able to get to Mars quicker, which would require less spacecraft, less supplies, the whole nine yards. Last article of the night, space news up, commercial supply rocket ready for liftoff. SpaceX, who has gotten $1.6 billion from the U.S. government, actually from NASA, to provide the agency with a vehicle capable of reaching the International Space Station, is getting ready to do their very first cargo carry into orbit, and is set for its main test flight. It probably will happen late this fall from Cape Canaveral, and they've got at least 3 months of preparation on the pad before they're ready to punch this baby. So nice to see that the folks at SpaceX are continuing to move forward here. All right, let me go ahead and load the email. We did have one voicemail, but it was a private one to me from talked about it earlier in the show from one of our callers. Vince had called and talked to me about City Center and MGM. And you guys ever notice on Thunderbird that it has a tendency to lose passwords, even though you have it saved in Password Manager? It does this to me about once a week, and it happens any time that I cannot connect to the IMAP server at either Google Apps or at Gmail. All right, let's go ahead and get into the email comments here. Got an email from Kelly, and this is about connecting computers. This is where I'm having problems with Max talking to PCs. Say, hey, Todd, sorry about the late response. Just listen to your podcast and your call for help regarding connecting different computers to each other. The first thing that sprang to mind is make sure that they're all in the same work group. Kelly, that was the very first thing I did. I have a separate work group name here. All of them are all the machines, Windows and Mac, are on the same network. But to go on with his response, he says, Microsoft machines come with the default work group set to MS Home or Work Group. Depending on the version of Windows installed, I usually set mine to Home, but it doesn't matter as long as they're all on the same one. I actually call mine here, I don't want to say it for security purposes, but I do have a name that I use. This can be found in the system's properties XP. You might want to check the firewall settings on the trouble machines and make sure ports 135 through 139 and port 445 are open on your internal net. Hope this helps. Blessings, Kelly from Oregon, soon to be Colorado. So thanks, Kelly, for that. And I think I've done all that. It's still having some issues with the machine. Got an email from Andy. This is my cameraman, the guy that went to Vegas with us and is actually getting ready to head out to China. He's actually going to go out to Shanghai and is going to be doing emergency medicine in Shanghai for expats for a few months. And he's not going to be coming out to CES with us this year. We're surely going to miss him being with us. But so that's opened up a slot. Anyone want to go to CES? Let me know. But anyway, Andy sent me an email. I said, hey, Todd, wanted to warn you about the iPhone unlock and jailbreak. He says, it is not possible to unlock the 3.1 software. I basically screwed up my iPhone as I upgraded 3.1, and then I tried to jailbreak it, but there is not, and there may not be for a long time, an unlock for 3.1. So I'm sort of stuck now and may have to buy another iPhone. Everyone has their own solution, however. When I gather info and try other solutions, I realize there is no answer at present. However, I hope something comes along soon. As a new upgrade updates the baseband, and even downgrading back to 3.0 won't refuse the baseband. Well, just thought you should know, even the dev team is warning people. Thanks, Andy. Again, if any of you found a way to jailbreak a 3.1 phone, let me know. Andy needs some help here. Thanks, Andy, for the warning on that. Got an email from Keith, and I got to wait for it to load here. Because for some reason, Google's when it's good on Google Apps or Gmail, but sometimes it does not want to load. It says opening folder. This drives me nuts. I have no idea why this is not working. Either that or it's a big fat email. Well, this one loaded. Keith, I don't know. Your emails are either full of data or something. It just wouldn't load. Got an email from Allie. He says, hey, Todd, here's a video I thought you'd find interesting. It's about changing media, and it's available over at makeuseof.com. That's a pretty cool domain name, and it's fascinating facts about technology and the Internet. I'll have that link up in the show notes. All right, I knew this was going to touch a nerve. Got an email from Robert. I think you need to read your articles closer. The article you tag as North Ice Caps Start to Freeze, the BBC article says, but scientists note the long-term trend is still downwards. And the question now, he said, was whether 2007 turns out to be a high melt blip or whether 2009 turns out to be the low melt blip, which will not become evident until next summer at the earliest. Pundits on the right may question warming, but that is not the view of climate researchers. You know, Robert, just all scientists, they'll have an opinion. And half of them are on one side, half of them are on the other. No one knows what the heck is really going on. They can't decide if we're in climate warming. They can't see if we're going to climate cooling. They don't have a clue. None of them do. Everyone's got an opinion. All I can say is we can do our part to try to be environmentally friendly, do the things that we're supposed to do. But guess what? In the end, us in the United States are doing our job. But do you think China? Do you think Hong Kong? Do you think Vietnam? Do you think developing world countries care about the environment, care about greenhouse gases? They don't care. It's not going to make a difference because they don't care. What we should do. But in the scheme of things, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. Hey, I want to thank Dave. And don't get me wrong, okay? Don't get me wrong. But, you know, really, we have to do our part. But in the big scheme of things, most of the people in the rest of the world don't care. They don't care. You can almost guarantee that people in Mogadishu, people in developing countries, they just don't care. They're worried about where they're going to eat next. I want to thank Dave for being a volunteering to be a podcast award reviewer, Jeff as well, and a couple more people had submitted some entries, and I think that's all I've got for actual email. Email's kind of short tonight, too. All right, folks, that's it. Wow, ended on time, even with all that. Geek News at gmail.com, geeknews at gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. And, you know, the environmental thing always gets people cranked up and disturbed. But really, we're just ants in the ant farm, folks. We really are. And we're on a ride that who knows how it's going to end, that's for sure. So just do your best every day and keep moving forward. That's all one can do. All right, folks, that's it. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight, and we'll get down. I apologize about that first 40 minutes of nastiness on that buzz, but it's nice that it's cleared up at the end of the show here, and it's not buzzing in our ears. Everyone take care, and aloha.